Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 159, episode 4 of
The Daily Zeitgeist,
the production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, November 12th, 2020, 69. Very nice days until January 20th. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I am a man who runs on sugar. Got Mountain Dew in my veins. For the next 70 days, I will guzzle to try and drown my Trump fears away. That is courtesy of Podge Moran, and I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, man, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Well, I'm fine to be an American where we might be fascist-free, maybe. But I won't forget the fuckery and all this shit they did to me. And I'll gladly smoke trees, drink cold brew, and suffer from ED. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this pod. God bless the TDZ. Woo! All right. That's a fucking nine-hander off of Discord. Shout out to Harry S. J-Man, Pres-elect Mo Biden, Secretary of Interior Jeeky Sanders. Everybody came together on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. Beauty.
Also, I love that. What is that? Oh, Brother? Was that?
Yeah. Soggy Bottom Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
these boys ain't white. Boys is miscegenated. It's like the part I was like, damn, I remember that word.
That song's about leaving Kentucky behind, and Kentucky is where I became addicted to Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew lore. So you just nailed it, Podge.
Mountain Dew lore.
All right. Miles, let's tell the people real quick what we're talking about, and then we will intro our guest. We're going to talk about how the media is dealing with just the... I don't know. Whatever the fuck the Republicans are doing right now. We're going to talk about how COVID is off the charts and Trump has just dropped off the grid. We're going to talk about, you know, Fox not knowing what to do with itself. I want to talk about the Dean Browning saga. I don't know if y'all caught that dude. The shapeshifter? White conservative Pennsylvania politician. He rules. We're going to talk about Trump's latest fundraiser and just all the emails he's sending out. We're going to talk about Britney Spears. We're going to talk about all sorts of shit. But first, we would like to introduce our guest. She is the hilarious, the talented Anna Salinas.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to be here.
Ooh. It's so good to have you back. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I know that I have an audience here because someone messaged me in the it's been a year, I think, since I've been on and said, would love to hear you back on the Daily Zeitgeist. Yeah. And I was like, I want to give the people what they want.
There you
go. To give the people.
Quick question. Are you registered to vote in Florida or California?
Ugh, I'm registered in California, which is truly a mistake.
Okay.
Yeah. And also Sarasota, my hometown, went red, but it is usually a pretty slim margin because it went for Obama and it's a bummer.
Yep. I heard it was down to one vote too. So
it was. It was down to one vote and they called me. They were like, Anna, we have the polls open for you. Yeah, we're waiting. You gonna get that ballot in? And I was like, guys, it's not happening.
Embarrassing to get ID checked with a Florida driver's license out here in LA. I'm sorry. I have to change.
It's like so the Jefferson or Burr song from Hamilton, deep cut Hamilton reference.
Which one is that? Is it about getting an ID?
Like
in Florida?
Jefferson or Burr, where everybody's just like waiting for Hamilton to tell them who to vote for.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
You
gotta, Anna, you gotta get a second address in Florida because the tax breaks are off the chain.
I mean, I'm thinking about just when I get a little older, having a timeshare down there where I can go golfing whenever I want, maybe in the Villages, that retirement community. Great place to be. Republican, a less great place to not be, but it's hot.
They had that weak little Biden parade.
They tried.
So. They had a Black Lives Matter protest. It was all white people, but I shouldn't say that. That's erasing some of my friends who are Black organizers there, but it was a lot of white people.
Shout out to them. All right, Anna, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I researched, and this isn't very sexy, but my puppy is biting too much and my puppy has too much energy.
Go on.
Because I was getting kinky with my puppy.
That is Miles' very specific kink.
Puppy bites?
I'm a puppy mom right now. I've had this puppy for a month. I got a dog like a lot of people because I was like, I'm home all the time. This is great. What do you do with dogs? You're home. That's what they want. They want you to be home. But no, she's so much work and she bites my finger so much and she's like 4 pounds and I shouldn't. It's one of those things where I feel like less of a man. I'm not a man, but that's how I feel. Right. Like I'm less of a man.
That for very being, toxically normative sense, yes.
Exactly.
Less of a man for being, what?
Yeah, for being tortured. She bites so hard and like
yesterday. Oh, and they got them little teeth too, huh?
Oh, they're so sharp. She
needle teeth.
Yeah.
Yes, and my fingers are like covered in little cuts.
Oh. It's horribly infected.
Yes. She bit my nail and I'm like, oh God, not again. I feel like I'm afraid of her and she's 4 months old.
But aren't you sort of
three and a half
becoming sort of like, what's that like Buddhist maxim about just sort of like you don't fear like the animal like when you're bit by them because that is their nature and it's not, you know, that's just you're just existing within the animal's nature. But I guess to the point where you're dying like a death by 1,000 needle bites to your hands, it's a little bit hard to keep your composure.
It is. They're little needles and you're not because of course it's a baby. So she's crying right now. I don't know if you can. Aww. I don't think you can, but listeners,
oh, I
can
little
hear it.
That's
what you hear.
Yeah, it's affecting me can hear for sure.
It. Oh, God.
You can't get mad at her. You're not even really supposed to say. Also, if any listeners are like dog trainers, call me out. Let me know.
Oh, no, there's wrong. Dog trainer gang is definitely, I think, represented on this show. Please help her
right?
out. What
dog
does she
Twitter,
do? Yeah.
Dog gang. Yeah, like you're not supposed to say no. So like I just have to be like, oh, don't like.
You're
oh,
like, yes.
Yeah, and then like give her a bone, but then she doesn't want the bone. She wants my fingers, or like she'll miss the bone and hit my fingers. I'm getting really deep into something that might not be relevant to like 70% of your listeners, but it's like
relevant.
I feel like such a little weenie. She rules my life. She's so small.
Well, what could you do? It's not like you're going to be like you're going to puff your chest up against the dog and get aggro with it, you know? Like, you're doing what you can, you know?
You want
to be sweet.
You can't. Even when I'll, like, get angry and, like, put her down on the floor, but with a little sauce, you know? Like, a little, mm-hmm. like, you're down. And I Ooh. Feel so bad because it's like, oh, no. That's what, like, when people, you know, hit their kids for punishment, it's like, you feel guilty. Like, I don't, not that I'm hitting my dog. I'm really painting myself into a corner here.
Yeah.
Whenever you're angry at the dog, you feel guilty because you're like, you don't
yeah,
know what you're
doing. You
don't
doing. Know any better. Right.
Yeah. Also, I think I've offended a lot of people complaining about the dog. So I'll be like, parents, I know what it's like. Ugh, we're exhausted, right? You have kids. I have a dog. It's the
right.
same.
Puppies
and you
kind of
put
tough.
Them down
I've
with
had...
some sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how it is when you put how your kid down with sauce.
Yo, come on now.
I've had both in my house, and puppies are very difficult when they're at that point where they can't go, like they keep going to the bathroom in the house, and like you can't get them. You also can't take them outside because they don't have their shots yet and all that. Mm-hmm. So like that's very tricky. Whereas,
she just got her shot, so yes, I relate to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I interrupted you. What were you saying?
I was going to say, whereas infants, you can just like let them go bathroom outside like right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't need
yeah.
their shots either to go to the park.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. Take them right
yeah.
to the baby park, let them off leash.
Right yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jack, after this, you'll have to text me where that off-leash baby park is.
Okay, yeah. Jesus, what else? I mean...
Why are you interested in that, Miles?
Yeah,
because you know when I have my off-leash child, you know, at some point.
Anna, what is something you think is underrated?
I think outdoor coffee shops are underrated right now. I guess that's not really pop culture, but I am suffering like a lot of people. I live here with my boyfriend Edgar. My mm-hmm. brother is staying with us, and now this dog. And I need,
ooh,
like,
yeah.
you can't go to bars in LA. I get shamed for going to restaurants, so I don't go to, like, the people in my bubble are not pro outdoor restaurants, so I'm not allowed yeah. to go to them.
Yeah.
So I have been occasionally, when I have time, going to, like, these, there's, like, maybe four in close proximity coffee shops that have outdoor seating. And it feels like the before times. Like, I can
yeah.
sit, I can do a little work. Shout out Habitat Cafe, Stories Cafe in Echo Park.
Mm.
It's like one of the only things that makes me feel human right now.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The people, like being shoulder to shoulder, or what is it, like the transactional nature? Because I know, like, just going to the grocery store is like how I'm like, damn, like, look, I paid for something. And this person said, thank you, and then gave me a receipt,
oh,
and then man. I will walk to my car and go home.
Like, oh, totally. Like I did go to Target the other day, and oh, that felt so fucking good. I had to take the puppy, but it was just still
yeah,
felt so good.
Going to Target
yeah,
high
I think it's people.
Is dangerous
oh.
right now, because if you're trying to be in and out, like I used to love to get high and go to the grocery store, but
yeah.
I can't spend 90 minutes in a grocery store, so mm-hmm. I have to be like... Like, in my mind, I'm, like, saying it all in my mind. I'm, like, eggs, butter, cheese, tortilla, eggs, butter, cheese, tortilla, seltzer, and, like, trying to
Yo,
go through it.
You gotta
write
it down, man.
But then next thing I know, I'm, like, listening to Los Culturistas or something, and I'm, like, laughing, like, looking at, like, a bag of cheese because they're high
yeah.
in the episode. I'm, like, they shouldn't have smoked this episode. and I'm just, like, staring at a salad bar. So, yeah, I'm trying to balance
that.
It.
Yeah, and then you want to buy all the decorations. Like, I skipped Halloween. I don't know about you guys. I did not buy decorations. I didn't do pumpkins. I vaguely dressed up as Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco because I happen to have some stuff in a box for sketch comedy.
Yeah.
Which
the
version?
Found item Halloween costume is a specialty of mine, where you just like, oh, maybe I would look like that character if I put that on.
And no one would get it except because everyone had an Instagram Halloween. You can be like, see, here's what I was copying. I write since not tragedies. Yeah.
Like when everyone was posting photos, they weren't going anywhere. They're just like, this is what a costume would have been for me this year.
Yeah.
Because I was confounded as an elder doing my like weekly scroll on social media. I'm like, are people going out? And I'm like, or are you just taking a photo to be like, and this was the costume.
Now 2020 was the year of conceptual Halloween costumes because you didn't have to go out to a party. You could have a really like cumbersome costume. And it didn't matter if anyone got it because you could let them know upon sight with your like reference. Like I saw maybe four people dressed up as Drew Barrymore from, what was it, Scream with the telephone?
Yeah, yeah.
Ben, like one person was dressed up as the telephone. And it's like, you don't want to be that in real life, but for Instagram, it's perfect.
For the gram?
Be a telephone.
Isn't that just a sweater with blonde hair and a telephone? Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
But it's so much more.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so much more.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, I think getting hot is overrated right now. I have a couple friends who are like working out right now and getting jacked and like on diets. Okay,
aesthetically hot.
Getting aesthetically hot.
Okay,
I have a lot of friends who are doing no drink. Like sober, I guess sober October became sober November.
Yeah.
And like, if you're trying to quit drinking because of addiction, great, good on you. But there are people who are like trying to lose weight. And I'm like, I thought we were in this
together. Yep.
I thought we were all like, we're going to eat what we want. We're going to probably drink every night, smoke a lot of weed. And, you know, when we come out of it, we'll be less hot. And that's fine. And I have been doing that. But not everybody has.
You're redefining hot. See, they're on that 2019 shit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, we're on this post-apocalyptic version of hotness, which is sort of like, I indulged myself to get through. Yeah.
Yes.
But I love the attitude of like, don't leave me behind. That's like when my friends would quit smoking weed in college, like when we graduated, they're like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm about to start my job. Like, I can't really be smoking like that anymore. I'm like, oh, okay, motherfucking coward.
I hate fucking that. Leaving me behind. Fucking hate
you
that.
On your way to work right now?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. But spoken like a true person who just doesn't like the mirror being held up to them. Like, oh, okay, so because I'm still smoking, maybe I should rethink. Well, I'm not doing that, so you are the enemy.
Right.
And that's me. None of my jeans fit, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Not even my jeans. Jeans, tailored pants, anything that is not explicitly a sweatpant or a yoga pant does not fit me anymore.
I have not put on jeans. They're violence.
They're violence. Oh, my God.
Jeans are violence.
Jeans are violence. That's a there great slogan
put on
for
a t-shirt. Jeans
company.
Are violence. I mean, it really, if I've completely, like, I've been talking about this, the drip, the flex is not even a real thing anymore. Like, I used to like putting all my clothes on and be like, oh, yeah, man, a shirt with this, that'll look good. Now I'm like, just get me out of here, man. Just gotta be covered. I don't know. Maybe it's just a symptom of, like, my quarantine depression. But
no,
I've learned to love their sweatpants.
Oh, my God. That quarantine depression mixing with seasonal depression right now. Everybody was posting memes of that. Like, oh, just wait till these two meet.
Yeah,
and
just
like,
the Venn diagram
funny.
Becomes a circle.
Right. But it's real. Oh, my God. Getting dark at 4:30. I am feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Has it always gotten... does it seem... Sorry. Anna, I have to ask this question. As the resident elderly white of this podcast, do you feel like it's getting darker earlier than it has in years past?
Yes. Quick. Yes,
Thank you. Thank you.
Why is it dark at... Honestly, 4. Let's just say it. It's basically dark at 4. And, then
and bright earlier, too.
Yes, and I'm like...
I feel like they fucked it up in there. I feel like they fucked up and they're not letting on. Like they changed all the data from years past. Because when I look at the data from years past, it looks like we're doing about the same as we were in terms of sunrise and sunset. But I swear, man, they fucked up the rotation. They're way too... They're about an hour early on.
God?
Nah, man. No, but I mean, if you think about it, like they've been on this schedule of like, okay, we do one daylight savings like switch every year. Like it's not like they took a year off to like get shit right. So like, I just feel like it's arbitrary at a certain point. And I could have sworn that up until the point when I did research and realized that it was still exactly on point.
Well, because it's based on the Earth's orbit.
I thought we voted
it out.
Yeah. I know.
So unless Earth's orbit has changed around the sun, I mean, I'm just having to nerd out like and just be like,
maybe
I know what you feel, but at the end of the day, I'm like, but you might be onto something else. Or maybe Jack has detected a disturbance in Earth's planetary orbit around the sun, and this is something that, this is actually something much larger coming down.
This is dumb. What I'm saying is dumb. I recognize it's dumb and wrong, but I'm just telling you, I'm telling you how I feel, okay?
You're dumb and wrong. I'm dumb and wrong for supporting you.
I'm with it.
All right. Guys, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about this election that won't end.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. So the media is already kind of both sidesing its way to a weird new reality that has sort of normalized the fact that the sitting president has refused to concede. They're acting like concessions, no big deal, as opposed to one of the norms that makes our peaceful transition of power possible. They're just like, come on, guys, let's start healing with the GOP, even though the GOP is not allowing for this to happen, allowing for a peaceful transition of power, and they're just like making shit up. They're even like, they will admit behind closed doors they're making shit up. But Miles, you were noticing that like some weird shit's going on in the media in terms of how weird. They're covering
this. This is how this country deals with itself. And Casey Hunt on MSNBC like said something like along the lines of like, you know, like the Republicans, you know, in Congress, like, you know, you have to give them credit for like, quote, like doing the work that keeps the country going or something, like just the bare minimum. It's like, okay, that they vote against like relief packages. Is that really the work that's there? They're obstructionists, but still like doing this thing of like being like, in case you're a Republican who just turned on MSNBC, we're nice, okay? And you don't have to be scared, even though like you are completely fucking wrong about everything. And even Jake Tapper was like sort of cringing at the list of sort of like, you know, trying to take into account the people who have supported this administration and basically trying to like naming these people so you know that they will have to be held accountable if they are trying to re-enter the halls of power. And I was like, I don't know about that, if we should be doing that. I mean, I get it. It sounds nefarious and dark, but conceptually.
Making a list. Yeah, sure. Acting like, but well, so that did, must be.
So did Santa, okay? And we fucking love that guy. So
and he checked it twice.
Yeah, and but yeah, exactly. And they won't even check these votes twice, but they need to. So this whole thing is sort of along this idea of healing, right? Joe Biden was also like, hey, we're going to work together. I will work with them. Even though I saw what everyone else saw, these people have completely jettisoned themselves from reality. And they're all about this idea of healing and healing the nation. And I'm just having such a hard time understanding, even in this context, how the media is going to like take this tone of like, why are we coddling Trumpers on some like, oh, you poor baby, it's okay, because it's in the name of healing? Because I'm like, you know, to go there, like the definition of healing is to cause a wound, injury, or person to become sound or healthy again. So in this instance, the wounds are to democracy, the poor, people of color, LGBTQIA community, indigenous people, a lot of people, unless you're in that group of like Gen X and older cishet white Christian people, this has not been a good run. And you're seeing a lot of things that you would love to have changed. So I'm not sure if that's the case. Why isn't the healing going in that direction towards those people I've named, towards those institutions I'm talking about, rather than the fucking goons who smashed up the place, like treating them like some fucked up emo teen werewolf who's like, oh, I get it, baby. The full moon came out and you're just going through some stuff. But let's come here. Let Yanla save your life. Like, it's not like this is not the fucking time for that. Like, these are the people who are the enemies of all that is good. There's not a single thing, a policy point I can point to that shows any kind of humanity or empathy. So they need to be treated like that. Not to say like, oh, we need to fucking, like, we need, like, violence against these people. But they need to be held to account, and they need to be run the fuck out of town. Right. Like, so I don't know. That's where I'm just focus, like, here we go.
Yeah.
The focus needs to be on the healing that needs to be done with the people who were, you know, physically abused by this administration and, you know, or just ideologically abused by this administration. Like, just focus your healing, if you have so much empathy, like, focus your healing that way. That needs to be the solution. Like,
and I think it kind of comes back to that argument that was happening, and that is still happening right after the election, with the Democratic leadership, or parts of the Democratic leadership, like Pelosi, saying that the reason, I'm sure you guys talked about this, like, the reason Democrats lost certain seats was because of defund the police, like, was because of this perceived radicalism and socialism on the left. And then they point to those races in red districts and they say, like, well, look, you know, just because progressives win in blue districts doesn't mean anything. But I think that that logic is just so fundamentally flawed, because that the fieriness of the base on the left in the Democratic Party comes from people in BLM, comes from people who are appalled by ICE. So like the idea that saying defund ICE is even so scary to these moderate Democrats is like such a bummer.
Yeah.
And well,
I mean, look what happened when Trump focused on the base. Like he had all time, you know, amazing base turnout like that.
Well, yeah.
So and his ideas are far, far more unpopular than the ideas from the progressive side. Like,
yeah,
that's one thing that I feel like gets lost in all this is how unpopular, like even with regards to them normalizing the, well, we don't know who won the election yet thing. 80% of Americans think Biden won. 3% think Trump did. Like the American people know, and the media is still covering it like it's a fucking both sides thing.
They're scared. They're scared. These people are all friends, right? And it's unfortunate that we are the ones that are going to feel the effects of their unwillingness to shake things up in their own circles. Just like I was talking about when the uprisings were going down. And I'm like, yo, white people, you need to fucking look around. And if you're sitting on the sidelines while your friends are saying some racist shit and you just keep your mouth shut, you might as well just put the MAGA cap on too. Because things aren't going to change unless you yourself as a human being in this node of information, takes, sentiments, philosophies, transmit the idea that I'm here for inclusivity, I'm here for equality, I am anti-racist, this is not what I fuck with. If this is your thing, we're not vibing. In fact, you should actually remove your energy from my circle because that's not what I'm here to uplift. I'm actually here to uplift people. And all these people in media, they're in the same situation but can't do the work of actually expressing to their colleagues and the people they work with, like, yo, you're fucking trash, bro. I'm sorry. Like, I can't have you on. Like, this is fucking bullshit. You're going to say something racist and I'm not here for it. But they're not thinking like that. They're too comfortable with where they're at, so they're unwilling
to
sort of...
It's a fear of discomfort. And there's something about moderate white people and maybe white culture in general, although I don't know how, like, Trumpism squares into that. But this, and I'm half Swedish, so I see it on my fucking Swedish side so hard.
Mm-hmm.
This fear of discomfort and this fear of conflict and this value that, like, at the dinner table you put politics aside is just so problematic. It's why white supremacism spreads. It's because of that fear, and I do truly see it on my Swedish side. I mean, I don't, you know,
don't want to. But that's the comfort that these people have. But unfortunately, marginalized people know exactly what it's like to be uncomfortable constantly. So there's no fear on this side to be like, no, I'm going to go out here with screaming in the streets what I believe, because I'm already uncomfortable. I'm actually having to scream because I am uncomfortable. And the reason you are not screaming is because you are comfortable. And from your perspective, you cannot understand that. So the worst thing to happen to you is just make shit uncomfortable for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Without seeing what happens to everyone else. And it's sad to see like how the Democrats do. They're like, and I hate to bring this some high school shit up, but they remind me of this homie I had in high school who got pushed around a lot. And I feel bad for him. He would like to sling drugs with me and was kind of like a fake tough guy. We were at a party in Northridge. Some dudes pulled up to him and said, yo, give me your chain. And he gave it to him. And then later on, I'm not joking, they just say, yo, come up, like, you run your fucking chain, bro.
Come off that chain.
And he gave him that chain. Then he comes up to me and some of my other boys and some of my friends who play football, like bigger dudes. And like the party was mostly like someone we knew. So these goons were outnumbered. But he's like, yo, man, they took my chain. And we're like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you say something? You just gave them your fucking chain? He's like, I didn't know. Like, maybe they're going to do something. And I said, what the fuck? Well, go get your chain back. And he comes back and he had the chain. I said, and he said, oh, good, you got your shit back. What'd you say? He goes, oh, they said I could get it back for $40.
Oh.
And I was like, you bought your chain back. That's what the Democrats remind me of. You know what I mean?
The Democrats.
You get fucking pushed around. Motherfucker's going to take your chain. You're going to try and reach out to your friends to be like, hey, can you help me out? They took my chain. And then you got your chain and be like, oh, was it because of, no, I bought it back. You got fucking played again. And it's just hard to see that there's this there needs to be an actual, people need to stand up to this, because for all the talk of like how we're so close to a civil war, we're looking at the people who are going to continue to be a pain point or a source of instability. Mm-hmm. Like then, so we need to actually handle that rather than like being like, okay, well here, that's fine. Let's name this is the Stephen Miller Children's Library, and this is the Ben Carson Institute of Neurology. We'll name these after them so the Trumpers aren't mad. No, fuck that.
Yeah.
You're lost. There's less of you, and you just got to figure out what time it is. And the fact that we're dragging our feet because we don't want to make ignorant people uncomfortable is so fucked up.
And it's dragging us to the right, too. I mean, it's the reason that the center isn't the center anymore.
That's why the center is called radical socialism now.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you doubt that there's a corporate hierarchy at work in the mainstream media or in the two-party political system, like 69% of voters support Medicare for all, and that is treated by the mainstream media. Like, there's no mainstream media outlet. Like, MSNBC doesn't cape for Medicare for all. Like, MSNBC is like, yo, that's impractical. Like, start thinking about ways that we can get this through our corporate overlords. Like, that, and that's the furthest left you can get. Neither party is willing to even entertain the idea of Medicare for all. And when an election happens, they slant the data to make it seem like, oh, you know, even the idea of Medicare for all was scary, so scary to people that Trump almost won. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's
even though they walked into the 2018 wave off the back of that messaging.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a mess of misinformation. I think I'm on public health care and it's great. It's fucking awesome. It, like, the idea that anyone would not want this is like simply an information war that we lost.
It's the same thing like what Prop 22 was in California, where prop, like, for, again, I hate to bring local news to this show, but like this was a proposition that Uber and Lyft put together to avoid treating their employees humanely, like actual employees rather than car parts. I think there was a funny tweet about that. And now, you know, so they have their people to message that. They made it look like Prop 22 was going to harm the drivers, much in the same way that the health insurance industry will message around how Medicare for all will limit your choices, your options. Because really, at the end of the day, it's not really any of the shit we're saying. It's the fact that it's going to eat into our profits. And we are signing, we're kind of on a trajectory where we need to make as much money as possible. So that's just, that's kind of our North Star.
That's
and
it. I think, I hope more people will see profit. That.
Yeah.
It, like with the Uber stuff, it's like literally the only reason they pushed that was to increase their profit margins.
Right. Because they had to be profitable by a certain point based on their projections or Wall Street would get mad.
Or they'll get mad. Right. Oh, my God.
So the other kind of major story that's happening right now while the president kind of totally off the grid is that the pandemic is just off the fucking charts. Like, basically every state has what's termed out of control spread, where you can't even like think about doing contact tracing because you probably got it from three different people, and there's no relief coming from anywhere. You know, the president hasn't been seen in public in days other than like a quick like appearance for Veterans Day, but like he's not talking about anything other than spreading his conspiracy theories about voter fraud. But they're thinking, you know, there are projections that say there's going to be 400,000 deaths by February. We've got the holidays coming up, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. Like, people are going to probably travel for Christmas, for Thanksgiving. And this is like right in the teeth of like the very worst that this pandemic has been. So like a lot of people are going to perish. It's really scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm from Florida and I see it. They have no restrictions. You can eat indoors. You can go indoors. You can't mandate a mask. So plenty of restaurants, servers don't have masks. Gyms are open. You don't have to wear a mask in a gym. And it's almost like cultural in that even my parents, who were pretty strict, I mean, my dad is immunocompromised and he works in medicine, knows the risk. Even he fucking goes to the gym. Mm. And I'm like, Dad, you know, people are panting without masks indoors, you know. But it's like that little bit, just that's him being strict there because he'll still wear a mask. And like he doesn't go that many places. He won't fly. But it's sad, you know. And then here we're in LA, which even with our surge, it feels like everything is so strict.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. It's especially the piece about the relief for people.
Yeah.
Not being there. That's it's so fucking dark and morbid. And the already like the austerity takes are coming from Republicans because they know Biden's
right away
president.
Just so right suddenly away.
It's like, oh, my God. I mean, the out of control spending. It's like, motherfucker, it's still the Trump administration. You yeah, fuckwit.
That was
what are you talking about?
Spending.
The out of control. That's yep. again why shame on these fucking people for acting like you need these people around still or that right. you yeah. shouldn't be treating them like you're like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like, I want to hear people saying that. They're like, I don't want to hear. Shut the fuck up, Mitch. You had your fucking yeah. time.
I want to hear someone say that.
Saying bullshit. Yeah. That's what they need. Fuck it. Maybe they, you know, get me in there. Give me Kamala Harris's Senate seat. But I'm serious. I'll take him to task.
I'm serious.
The whole thing. All of that coupled with the idea that there's true human suffering on a scale that is just unfathomable, especially like in this country mm-hmm. where we think like everything is so great. And but again, this is another portion where the media, when Donald Trump is in office, I'm curious to see how much energy MSNBC has for wages, for yeah. job numbers, for unemployment, because I've seen what it's like. I've lived through the Obama years and Clinton years. Like there's a way to just completely refocus what the priorities are. And for a moment, I was like, damn, look at MSNBC or CNN talking about these like issues about working people.
Yeah.
I feel like it only serves them when they can fire that up against the right. And yeah, on top of all this with a jump start transition or stop start transition, it just makes me so fucking cynical and just sad.
Yeah. Those takes aren't going to be coming from the mainstream media. That's for sure. Like you're going to need to get them from podcasts, basically.
That's what I was going to say. Like, yeah. guys, come on. MSNBC is the past. You get your hot takes from podcasts. You get your news from podcasts and also probably print journalism. And also print journalism that does podcasts.
Right. An underrated detail of the election was that there was like a higher than I think ever before rate of people saying they were better off than they were 4 years ago, and they think that's because of all the deficit spending, all the benefits that were given to people during the COVID crisis that like made people feel okay, feel like they were being taken care of. The fact that Trump still lost by like a historic margin, or not by a historic margin, but that Biden got a historic amount of the vote is just an indication of like how completely fucked everything else that Trump did was. But I like that the fact that the Democrats aren't going to be able to do that is so frustrating. And I don't even know if they would do that if they had all the branches of government, because they hold themselves to a standard that the Republican Party never holds itself to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not even a standard that helps the fucking base.
No, it doesn't like, help.
It's for their own.
Doesn't help the base. It doesn't help
sense
anybody.
Of identity.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't go there. It's like, yeah, right. But you also didn't help anybody either. So what the fuck was it all for?
Right. It just creates a better safety net, which makes American capitalism less fevered and just like desperate, which isn't always the best thing for corporations, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Did you guys catch the Dean Browning saga?
You know it.
That's a gay black man or as a gay black guy.
Yeah.
Is that when you say something like that?
My favorite thing was catching people who posted too soon as it unfolded and were like, oh my God, look at him posting as a black man. And then going and being like, actually, the story has just unfolded more. I found like 4 people who had posted just too soon and then like got a barrage of responses being like, no, it's actually Patti LaBelle's nephew, not her son.
So right. her adopted son and nephew.
It started with a tweet of someone saying like what Trump created in 4 years, Biden will destroy in like 4 months or something.
Yeah.
Like,
somebody replied and said, contradicted that essentially. And then this guy, Dean Browning, who was a failed, I think, House candidate, responded to that and said, and he's, you know, maybe the whitest person you've ever seen in your life. He responded and said, I am a gay black man, and I had a better time under Trump than anything under Obama. And people, I think, were just initially confused because it didn't go viral like right away. People were like, is this performance art or something?
People screenshotted that so fast, though.
But then people screenshotted it, and then it started going viral. And so almost definitely what happened is that he has a puppet account that he thought he was posting under because he was just in a haze of, you know, pulling all the different levers, having the different browser windows open, and he didn't realize he was posting as himself. And so once he got called out, he hit up his homie, Patti LaBelle's nephew, who is apparently like a troll and a conservative, who's like online calls himself an anti-feminist. And he said he created a video where he was like, no, it wasn't that guy. He just was quoting something that I sent him. I am Dan Purdy, except he's like a public figure. People like know who he is. And his name's not Dan Purdy. And then he just kept like tripling down. Like this dude was just Dean Browning would not let it go. He just kept tweeting about it, being like, I'm apparently trending. Wish Hunter Biden's laptop had trended as much as I'm trending. But
oh, fuck,
America,
bro, no. And then later he was like, I'd love to see a debate between Candace Owens and AOC. Like, oh, really, sir? You act like you didn't just fully show yourself? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's also a really sick take, dude. I would love to AOC. I would love to see Battle of the Colored People on a debate stage. Thanks, Dean Browning. How did he get a fucking how he got a blue check? Fuck.
Oh yeah.
So he got one just for being a candidate, right?
He got one for being a mutant who can shapeshift into a conservative political candidate or a gay black man or who knows what.
I think blue checks are bad. I think
they are,
because of the amount of like people spewing hate speech who have blue checks, like that ruins it for everyone, and we should just not have blue checks.
Yeah,
I think that's how we're gonna eventually turn the tide against capitalism and hyper consumer culture, is if we completely take away the magic of the blue check. That's step one.
Yeah,
you know, to be like, no, there are no classes, even on social media. We are one.
Mm-hmm.
The checklist,
and then and then we shut down Trump's Twitter account, which, like, you know, is going to happen, right? Once he's out of office.
Well, he's definitely not going to be able to. Yeah, I mean, he definitely is not going to get the benefit, like the public interest benefits that he was getting to be able to say shit, where now they'll just be like, oh, yeah, I'm just reporting this asshole on Twitter. Can you suspend his account?
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to be like still going to take up a lot of the oxygen. Like the media is still going to pay attention to him. The right wing media is still going to, you know, follow him and treat him as like the leader of like basically the president in waiting. Or like,
I'm not joking. Van Jones is within 3 years, probably going to say some shit like, you know, he's really had a renaissance since he's been out of office. You know, all these people are going to rehab his fucking image. Like it's just a fucking
start a TV network.
There's just an inability from these people to actually be able to be like, this guy's disgusting. Never put him on the fucking TV again. It's only like when we realize he's been numerically voted out of office that people are like, okay, we're going to cut that out because that was nonsense.
Yeah.
God, that was virtue signaling. That's what I think.
I mean, they found their integrity.
So I do just want to talk about the fraud stuff real quick and just where we are with it, because not talking about it, like, I don't know. You would think anything besides the truth would make it seem more realistic than it actually is.
Right.
So one thing that's happening is Trump is sending out like 20 emails a day to supporters, basically trying to get them to donate money. So he's going into full scam mode. He's, you know, and saying things like, 1,000, we're going to match your offer 1,000%, or we're going to match your donation 1,000%. But then, like, the fine print people pointed out, like, doesn't say anything that implies they would actually do that. It's just
how is that a fundraiser at that point?
Yeah. Like no clue where that money was going to come from. And there's also like, they just can't find a single instance of fraud. Like they found one in Nevada that then got disproven. Like they can't, there's so many, like in any national election, you're going to find
at least one.
Yeah, at least one. Yeah. Like, there's going to be plenty. And just not a statistically significant amount of fraud. Right. And no,
that's why I liked how, like, some of the secretaries of state were like, oh, yeah, I'm sure you're going to find something. Like, there always is, but it's never on the scale that you're like, oh, God, this tipped an election.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a house race in North Carolina.
The Georgia Secretary of State just announced that he's like giving into the pressure. I mean, he is a Republican, He is saying that they're going to do a by hand vote for vote recount of the whole state's presidential election. So that's happening. But I mean, unless there's some serious fuckery going on, like that, it's going to be
the same,
the exact same thing. Because they were very careful.
Well, actually,
the first
it was 43
through.
Less. So what's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, huh. 43 people. Oh, well, so you're not telling me there's not a whole conspiracy? I mean, that's all they need. That's all they'll continue to use to try and give oxygen to this thing.
But they just, it's all vague allegations, never a single specific instance. No. And you pointed out this postal worker example, Miles, that I can't believe it's real.
Okay, so like in Pennsylvania, right, there were like, we talked, I don't know if we talked about it on Trends or we were just, I may have just been saying this as an aside to you, Jack, about how I was watching One American News and they were like, they had James O'Keefe on, all the Project Veritas people. And they're like, look, we're going to call this postal office in Erie, Pennsylvania, where this postal worker said they were post-dating or backdating some of the ballots so they could be counted with the count. And they called and like, yeah, I'm just calling about the ballots that were backdated to November 3rd. And like, they hung up and like, oh my God, did you see they hung up?
They knew they're busted. They know they're busted.
So all of that momentum came from this person named Richard Hopkins, who works, who does work for the Postal Service in Erie. And he signed a sworn affidavit with allegations of this tampering, of this fraud, that they were backdating ballots so they could be counted in time. Ones that came in late, oh, hit them with the November 3rd stamp. That way we can get this shit cracking. Oh, postal also, I think, said that postal workers were instructed to still pick up ballots after Election Day. And so this was a, you know, this was like a big claim. They were all saying, look, this is it. We got a whistleblower here. So the Postal Service Inspector General goes in and they have to investigate because they're saying, what the fuck is going on here? And they started asking this man, Richard Hopkins, what the fuck was going on? After they were talking to him, this man recanted his allegations. And then when they're asking, like, well, then why would you sign this if you're going to recant, would not explain. Then he goes to the Project Veritas people and was like, oh, I'm recanting my recantation. Because I was bullied by investigators, and they're like, "Well, legally, you didn't say shit anymore, so you can say everything you like. You have to, but this is the state of their, you know, manufacturing of fraud." And to even go further down that road, Lieutenant Governor of Texas Dan Patrick, yes, the guy who was like, "Your grandmother will fucking die for capitalism. Fuck COVID. Your grandma needs to get out there and start working, ho." Like that man, he said. He is actually, he's chumming the waters with a $1 million prize, but read the fine print, if you can actually conjure up some material. As he says, this article saying, the lieutenant governor is backing Trump's efforts to identify voter fraud by offering up to $1 million from his campaign for anyone to come forward with evidence from anywhere in the country. Patrick said, he is offering the reward to, quote, incentivize, encourage, and reward people to come forward and report voter fraud, end quote. Anyone who, this is where it gets very Republican. Anyone who provides information that ultimately ends in an arrest and final conviction will be paid $25,000 minimum.
Wow, so no one will actually get money. Very smart.
Not a milli, but you know, I like that. I like that. That's big. I put Lexus badges on my Camry so it looks baller. Energy.
Yeah.
I respect the hustle, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. But yeah, this is, they're now sending out, they have bribe money. To basically,
a $1 million
Joe Biden didn't win.
National prize money like that.
A fucking lie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's what I don't get.
Yeah.
America is full of sports fans. Republicans are often sports fans. How do you not look at, even if you're watching OAN and you're watching Fox News, how do you not look at this and say, okay, this is being a sore loser? Like, you don't go up to the Lakers and say, or I guess the Lakers, I'm going to really show
No, what would you say? You'd say, congrats on being the best. Thanks so much.
Like, you don't say, hey, if you heard anything about people cheating, let us know. Because, like, I don't think the Lakers won fair and square.
Right.
Like,
Clippers fans might say that.
Yeah, Clippers fans might say that.
Like, that's what happened? You know, how did that swing happen? But yeah, it's true. But I think that's to the point Jack was making, even with that stat. 80% of the people believe Joe Biden won. So there's definitely 20% that are fully in the darkness, and they are unwilling to say that. And there are other reports, too, that says 70% of Republicans, though, don't feel that the elections were fair. So Republicans are still kind of, they're half like, yeah, Joe Biden won, but it's probably dirty. Much in the same way that Democrats were looking at the 2016 election and being like, was this fucking real? What fucking happened? Like, is this, I get it.
Why were our polls at the end of the day,
you come around to the idea that it's like, look, they'll either prove it or they didn't. But the reality is that this person's the president. And then it's incumbent on you to organize your people to try and, you know, fucking win an election. But we're going into a new phase where, like, even who knows, like, what votes are, because every effort is to basically dissolve people's belief in the idea that you cast a vote for someone and that means something.
I mean, the chumming the water is a great metaphor to use for this $1 million prize, because it's going to create so many false positives that then they can take, you know, months and months to investigate, and it'll just always keep it out there, this idea that there was fraud or that the election wasn't fair. And that's really what they're trying to do. That's the whole point of this. Like, they know that they're not going to overturn the thing unless there's like a fucking actual armed uprising. Like, they're not going to, Trump is not going to be the president on January 20th, but they're trying to keep it so that they can be like, we never lost. Like, we didn't lose a fair match, basically.
Now, as patriots, we do have a duty to call these hotlines and send in prank tips.
Right. Yeah.
Just gum it up.
Yeah. Yeah,
the supercuts of people calling that first fraud line were
so good.
Else. And they're those people are so frustrated, who are like manning those phones. They're like, it's mostly nonsense, but they do a good job of like reeling you in for the first 5 minutes.
Exactly. Just to then be like, the longer you go.
Like, ah, damn it.
Damn it. It's another ass sucking.
Damn it. Yep. No, they told me to suck ass again. mark that.
I want to have empathy for those people working those jobs, but man, it's hard. It's like parking enforcement. No. It's hard.
Yeah. Let's talk real quick about Britney Spears.
What's going on with Britney?
This is just like such a, I don't like to use this phrase because I think it's overused, but this is Kafka-esque. This is like a complete mind fuck. She is almost 40. Her dad is in charge of her career and her life. Mm-hmm. And she just tried to be like, can I be in control of my life now as an adult? And she's like not allowed to fire her dad. Like, the lawyer is like, she's just saying that, Your Honor. Like,
so she
really
can't get out. So she's still in her conservatorship. Basically.
Still in her conservatorship. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing they allowed her to do was add a financial, it's like a trust that is going to help oversee it, because she doesn't feel like she can trust her dad to do like the best things with her money, like the things that are in her interest with her money.
It's like straight out of the 1940s. Like, I listened to You Must Remember When?
You Must Remember This, yeah.
And every one of those stories about like the Hollywood starlets in the 20s and 30s and 40s, and so tragically with them like not in control of their life and the studios making all these decisions. And I feel like we're going to look at this Britney Spears thing in 20 years and be like, that's tragic. How was happening? How was that legal? Like, yeah, she had a mental breakdown at one point, and maybe she will blow all of her money. But that is her God-given
that
right.
That is her right, yeah.
Having made all of that money.
I have not seen her dad perform, but I bet he's not as good a performer as her. I bet fewer people would pay money to see him perform. But he's getting to control all this money. Some quotes from the hearing, which was a rare... like. This sort of thing has been going on for the 12 years that she's been in the conservatorship, but we just got to like witness this one, or the media got to witness this one. But yeah, like you said, this at a time, like even Britney acknowledges, like, this was a good thing when I had my mental breakdown, because like they were able to, you know, make responsible decisions when I wasn't able to do that for myself. But it's unheard of for it to, for a conservatorship to last this long. Her lawyer said, my client has informed me that she is afraid of her father. She will not perform again if her father is in charge of her career. Her dad's lawyer, Vivian Lee Thorine, which Thorine sounds like a treatment.
Sounds like a movie villain.
Yeah, exactly. Was just like,
it's Thor's shitty aunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Thorine.
Thorine.
Here comes Thorine.
Just, it's so fucked. So it began in 2008 when she was having serious mental struggles, but the arrangements are normally limited to people with severely diminished ability to make decisions for themselves, and there's just like no evidence that that is the case here.
Yeah, she's got a whole vibe on Instagram. She's, I think, more than capable at this point, and like most people have been, I think, as most like people who even investigate or look deeper into this conservatorship, it's not as simple as like, nah, man, like she needs to be under that. It's like, nah, dude, people are basically using her likeness and her fucking physical, her body to make money and do things like, you know, enter into business agreements she might not want to do. But again, she has no ability or power legally to determine those things for herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she could go on tour. I mean, not on tour because of COVID, but like, she still is so relevant and has such a strong fan base. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy that that is then seen as not like mentally capable enough of being an adult.
Yeah. And it's not that she's not just not allowed to make decisions for herself about her own finances. She's not even allowed to like know about the decisions that are made. Like that's one of the things she's fighting for is like her dad just fired her business manager and never told her about it. And she's like, could I like at least be told when like these major decisions are being made?
Right.
And they're like, nah. Nah,
they're like, wait, I'm making a fragrance. They're like, yeah, you are.
That's you are. Right.
I don't want to. I don't care. It's a conservatorship. Fuck that.
Yeah.
It's ugh. And for all of that, you know, her dad, and I hate to say this, he is not that innocent. And that's been my time.
Wow. And we'll go out on that. Anna, it's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at badcomics with an X by Anna with two N's. And it's the same on Instagram. Yeah, those are the two places. I was like teeing up to say a third, but I'm not on TikTok.
Oh,
I am, but I have never posted a TikTok, and I think I have two followers. One of them being Danny Fernandez because we connected early on.
There you go.
And she was like, "Yeah, you should post." And I was like, "No, I'm not."
Do you are you like kind of torn? Are you, is there internal conflict about the fact that you haven't posted yet? Are you, do you have plans to post?
I always think about it because like Kim, the red dot, is she's like very good at TikTok and just being on all the social media as a person who makes a webcomic. But I feel old. I look at TikTok and I'm like, this is beautiful. The shit people are doing on here intentionally and not intentionally is so perfect. What could I possibly contribute?
Mm. Yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. There is this, can I say a TikTok? I think it made the rounds.
Yeah, yeah,
on
please.
Twitter. There is this TikTok of a girl who is like, there's this meme on TikTok where they play like this emotional music and you sing along to it, but you act out something. Maybe you've seen it where there's like the Republicans pulling her one way and she
red blood on her face. Yeah.
Yes. And
this
then
has been...
there's also the virus one, but and then the Democrats pulling her this way and there's blue on her face and like abortion pulling her this way and like, oh, but they're killing babies. And it's part of this larger brand of like Christian TikTok. And I love it. I love it so much. I hope it never stops. I just want more of them.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like Christian rock was not as good as regular rock, but Christian TikTok is like somehow better than
it's
all other forms
TikTok.
Of social media.
It's
yeah.
So good.
Well, because, you know, the Christians love a production.
Yes. Ooh.
So yeah. That's the thing.
And like, they're not doing them now because of COVID. Yeah. So they have to take that out somewhere.
Because, I mean, they took the secular and made it sexy. You know what I mean?
Oh, hell yeah.
Rather, it's not secular. But yeah, there is something about the production. I remember, like, when I went to Lutheran school, like, you would have to do, like, a fucking chapel performance, you know, about some shit in the Bible. And it was always, like, way too much energy in it. And I was like, this is fucking wild. But I'm like, all right, cool. I guess we'll do Jesus serving up 5,000 people.
Yeah. It's beautiful art.
Miles, where can people find you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. We're just talking 90 Day Fiance. A tweet that I like from Ray Sani, Ray Sani, R-A-E-S-A-N-N-I, just tweeting, Hunter Biden is fucking hot, SMH.
Not wrong. Not wrong. Man. I felt something looking at that photo of him, like, from a, you know, he's
yeah,
like,
I think we all did
at it. Oof.
Looking the dick pic.
Yeah, I think it was part of it.
Yeah, there was a dick in the pic, but that wasn't the only thing that made it attractive for sure.
Yeah,
some tweets I've been enjoying. Audrey Farnsworth tweeted, just because a lot of his friends have wings doesn't mean Godzilla wants them. He is glad with who he is. Those guys are on different journeys. And then Blair Saki tweeted, upped my age limit to 42 on Hinge, and now these men message me at 6 a.m. quote, hello, Blair, how are you? Question mark. Dash Tim.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. I want to get on Hinge just for that. Wow.
Hello, Blair. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into the rest of the week on today?
This is a track by Overcast and Navy Blue, and it's called Face. It's talking about, yo, get up out my face. And that's how I feel. I'm just a message to the media, these pundits, these other people who are trying to heal the fucking divide. You don't heal it by inviting the perpetrators to the table again. You heal by healing the wounded. Thank you. That has been my TED Talk. And it's called Face, because the whole, there's, you know, good laid back hip hop vibe. But if you just listen to the words, you can make it about anything. So keep that.
Oh, man. Speaking of pundits, I'm tired of people mentioning the possibility of Tucker Carlson being like the Republican nominee in 2024. I feel like it's getting extra energy because pundits like get horny for the idea that a pundit would be able to be president.
Yes.
They're like, yeah, I mean, he's their best hope. Anyways, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Everywhere, like I don't know my place. I got people waiting on me, stood up, I can't show my face. I got people hating on me, mad that I control my fate. No, shit, no, I can't show my face. Everywhere, like I don't know my place. I got people waiting on me, stood up, I can't show my face. I got people hating on me, mad that I control my fate. Shit, though, I can't show my face. I can't show my face. I can't show my face. Okay, now putting stones into place. Now what comes with a fake smile? Leaves come.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.